Today on Hardwired.
The dictionary defines revival this way, and I really like this, quote, "Revival is a return or recovery to life from death or apparent death or from a state of neglect or oblivion or obscurity or depression. Revival is a return to what you used to be."
Welcome to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickliar, founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're looking for some words of hope, encouragement, solid biblical truth, and maybe even a laugh or two, well, that's exactly what Pastor Jeff wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated at times, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always check it out at our website, hardwired.org. In fact, you can find all the programs right there waiting just for you, hardwired.org. But right now, here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more about today's program on Hardwired.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Hardwired. Thank you so much for joining us. We hear a lot about revival these days. If you pay much attention to religious news, you will routinely hear people claiming to be in revival here, revival there, revival everywhere. It goes without saying that America and the world need revival like never before. But what does genuine revival really look like? What are its earmarks? What does history reveal about true revival? What took place when God actually visited a place with a genuine, mighty move of His Spirit? And what were the long-term effects? In today's message, we're going to answer these questions. So may God send us the kind of revival that will shake the nations. Let's get right to today's message, what genuine revival looks like.
Revival is something you hear a lot about in churches. We always hear about revival week. You know, one time a year, churches will have a revival. Nothing wrong with that. Although I do believe the church ought to be in perpetual revival. That's the way the first century church was. Now, I want to start by discussing with you what real revival is, what it looks like. How do you know that you're seeing real revival? What are the earmarks of it? How can you tell it's happening? Of course, usually you have to be pretty dense to not realize real revival is afoot when it is. But let me give you a couple of definitions of revival. Charles Finney, the great 19th century revivalist, define revival as, quote, "nothing more or less than a new beginning of obedience to the Word of God." A new beginning of obedience to the Word of God. It's when you kind of come back to your center, to your core. Well, another man wrote, "Revival is falling in love with Jesus all over again." That's revival. Falling in love with Jesus all over again is no longer stale. No longer a used-to-be relationship, but it's fresh now. I'm in love again with Jesus. Having not seen Him, wrote John, yet you love Him. The dictionary defines revival this way, and I really like this, quote, "Revival is a return or recovery to life from death or apparent death or from a state of neglect or oblivion or obscurity or depression." Revival is a return to what you used to be, where you used to be. And it's a revival of languishing in apparent or near death. You are being revived from death. I like this definition as well. Revival is a powerful intensification of the Holy Spirit's normal activity. Boy, I like that because that's exactly what I've experienced in the revivals that God has allowed me to experience, to watch with my own eyes. It is an intensification. Whereas a few souls were being saved, all of a sudden there's a flood of souls being saved. Where the presence of God was very real in a service, all of a sudden, it is overwhelmingly real, and people who were cool and cold and distant and sort of on the outside looking in get drawn in and pulled in by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is an intensification of the Holy Spirit's normal activity, conviction of sin, righteousness, and coming judgment, the moving of God. Now, what I've found is the word revival is not in the Bible. Not the word revival. But revive is found in 7 verses. Revived, like in past tense, in 6 verses. And reviving is found in 2 verses. So the word revive is there, just not revival. But being revived, brought from near death or brought from death. Neglect, oblivion, obscurity, depression. God's going to change many of you who are sitting here today in a very, very wonderful way. Some things that you've been needing Him to do and longing for Him to do, He's going to do. Because we're going to ask Him. And Jesus said, whatever you ask will be done by my Father who is in heaven, so that I can be glorified in the Father. We're going to ask the Lord boldly. All this week, the church is going to be open from 9 to 5 every weekday for you to come and pray. We're going to go boldly to the throne of grace, and we're going to ask Him to do exceeding, abundantly, above all that we could ask for or even think of. Amen. Now, let me give you today 4 definitions of revival that are in keeping with the Word of God. Here they are. A revival is the supernatural work of God in the hearts and lives of submitted believers that brings first life from death. You see, the Spirit of God that's living in you is a spirit of resurrection. And nothing can be resurrected unless it is down for the count or dead. So the Spirit that God has given to you and me is a spirit that raises us from the dead. See, Easter is in every one of you. And God has the power to come into your life where you're bound up, where you've cooled off, where you're struggling, where you're dying, and resurrect it. Because we serve a miracle-working God, a mighty God, a spirit of resurrection was sent to the church by Jesus on the day of Pentecost. And every one of you that are here that know Jesus are those who have been resurrected from the spiritual dead already. What are you doing in church, raising your hands and shouting to God and reading the Bible and excited about things like this? Because you're a child of resurrection. Amen. And I'm believing that we're going to have a year of resurrection. People are going to get saved that you never thought could. We're going to see great things. Now, life from death. When there's real revival, you will always see life from death. Jesus, we are told in Romans 14:9, was revived from death. Listen to what it says. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived. There's one of those usages of the word. He was revived from death that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Jesus was revived. But Scripture also teaches that revival can take place, that is being revived from spiritual death or spiritual decline. See, there's 2 kinds of deaths, physical and spiritual. And you can be born again and be red hot for Jesus and go through some things and time and life and maybe some bad decision making take the edge off of your spiritual life and you actually begin to decline where you're almost spiritually dead. I didn't say lost, I just said dead, numb. And Jesus can resurrect that, and that's one of the things that we're going to see happening right here in church. Revelation 3:1. Jesus addresses one of the churches as he has looked at them with his X-ray vision. And he says to the angel of the church in Sardis, write these things. These things says he that has the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars. I know your works, that you have a name that you live, but I know that you're dead. Now think about that. This church at Sardis had a reputation for being alive, zealous, resurrected, saved, full of life. They had a reputation for being Christians on the cutting edge. And something tragic had happened to their spiritual vitality and life. Because this is what they used to be. This is how they got their reputation. They had been alive. They had been vital. They had been pulsating with the life of God. But something happened. They've been known for being resurrected, spirit-filled, but now they were cold and lifeless. Jesus saw it, and Jesus sees you and I here today at Turning Point. He knows exactly what the spiritual characteristics of and makeup of this church is. He knows. He's already read us like an x-ray and a doctor looking at that x-ray. He's already read it. He knows what's here and what's not here. And he knew it about these folks. And Jesus had a word for them in verse 2. And I want you to listen carefully to this word. Be watchful, he said, and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. Strengthen what remains, but it's ready to die. You know what they were in need of? Revival. They were in need of a revival. And any church that has some things that are remaining from the past, when they were red hot, when they were filled with zeal, when they were affecting the world for the Lord, but now they've grown cool, there are those things that are still there, but they're ready to die. In other words, Jesus is telling this church, turn the ship around. Put the brakes on this spiritual decline. You don't have to be a victim. You can turn it. Don't be passive and just sit back and let it happen. It's like the four lepers that were sitting at the gates of Samaria. Inside was a famine. Outside was the enemy. And they were just sitting there, leaned up against the wall. And one of them said, why are we sitting here until we die? I want to say to some of you, why are you sitting there passively until you die? Wake up, child of God. Wake up, man of God. Wake up, woman of God. This is going to be good news for you today. Get back the spiritual passion, the zeal, the walk with God that you used to have. That's the call of God to this church. Now, when I look at what Jesus said to them, he does not say exactly what it was that he saw. But I pastored for a long time, and I got called to the ministry when I was 18 years old. I started preaching when I was 18. I've seen a lot of things. And I want to tell you, I can easily guess what some of the things probably were that were ready to die that needed the touch of revival in their life. First, the service or the ministries of many are dead or ready to die in the church today. The services or the ministries of many are dead or ready to die.
We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in a moment to close out today's program. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to share the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ in a way that gets hardwired into your life. And we trust these messages from Pastor Jeff aren't something you can only listen to and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's a priority to us. And you get to join us in this important mission. Call us at 877-884-3111 to say you're in. Or drop us a line at our website, hardwired.org. Well, here's Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
You know that our city here, Fort Worth, and the Metroplex, is filled with has-beens and used-to-bes in a spiritual sense? We say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean people who used to be filled with zeal, filled with fire, filled with excitement for the work of God, have now cooled. They were at the church every time the door was about to open. They were there waiting. They couldn't wait to be in church. Anything that moved, they were witnessing to it. Always in prayer, always in the Word, red hot, filled with zeal, in what we would call the cage stage. And I wish we were all in the cage stage. They were excited about Jesus, in love with Jesus. You talk to them, you'd hear about Jesus in the first 5 minutes. But now they're used to bees because something has happened. Some of them got offended. They got offended and never handled it, never forgave, never moved on. And so that offense wore them down and took away the life of their spiritual vitality. It might have been an offense, or it might have just been some bad decisions, little things here and there, and they cooled off. It doesn't really matter so much why as what now. But they're used to bees. They are powerful used to bees. Let me ask, did you used to be a preacher? Did you used to be a Sunday school teacher? Did you used to be a street minister or a prison minister or a nursery worker? Did you used to be somebody that was out there all the time handing out tracts and talking to people about the Lord? Did you used to be? See, I've learned a long time ago that what the devil is really after, he's after a couple of things I'm going to talk about today. One of them is our faith. He wants to affect our faith. He wants to attack our faith. And he's after our clear conscience. If he can take away the clear conscience, he can shut you down. He has many weapons he can use to stop a Christian who is filled with the Spirit and filled with joy and filled with Jesus and who is influencing their world. I got to be honest with you today. I'm very concerned about the United States of America. I've never been more concerned about this country in my entire life. And I know there is an answer. And the answer is the person of Jesus Christ. And guess where he is? Christ in you. The hope of glory. Christ in you is the hope of glory. And I know that if a church comes together in unity and begins to pray and sometimes fast and call out in the name of the Lord and gets the fire back and gets the zeal back and gets the first love back, then there is nothing that can stop the Spirit of God cascading down like a mighty river all across this land. Oh, yeah. For the service or ministries of many are dead or ready to die. Let me give you a fact. Sitting in a chair on Sunday mornings may involve worship. It may involve learning the scriptures, but it does not take the place of active service for the Lord. There is an anointing to minister on every one of you. Every person in this room has got a gift from God. And God doesn't want it to lie dormant. God doesn't want it to sit there and soak and sour, but God wants it active and alive. That's why our church is always looking to raise you up into the place of the work of the ministry, because if I do it all, then all that's going to happen is what I can do. But if you get in the game, there is no limit. There is no end. I want you to say with me, I'm called. Well, that was kind of convincing. I heard from about 10 of you. Can you say it again? I am called. There's a gift in me. And somebody needs it. I guarantee you that's true. If you're in the used to be category, then you're a candidate for a revival. And something's going to happen to you in the next few weeks. I believe that if you will be willing, God's going to revive you. He's going to bring you from that languishing. He's going to bring you from that lethargy. He's going to bring you from that sleepiness and get you back in the game. Now, another thing that Jesus may have seen in this church is the devotional life of many was dead or ready to die. Now, here's a $1 million question. How was your Bible reading last year? Since we're in a new year now, how was your Bible reading in 2011? And did you regularly attend church? Well, Pastor Jeff, I went to church on TV. Let me tell you something about that. I thank God for television broadcasts, and that's great. You watch TV, but you know what? That TV image can't marry you, and that TV image can't bury you, and that TV image can't lay hands on you when you're sick or visit you in the hospital when you're in the hospital. That TV image can't visit you in jail. That TV image can't lay hands on you in this altar and pray for you. And guess what? No one that is in this room is there with you as you watch that TV image, and we need one another. There's nothing like coming together for church with the people of God. I love this. Amen. Turn your attention to what is dying but not yet dead and allow it to experience a revival. If today's spiritual fervor isn't what it once was, now is the perfect time to strengthen what remains. And then it might be also that Jesus saw their secret prayer life was dead or ready to die. Many Christians have no idea what a prayer closet is or what a prayer list is, to make a list of what to pray for or what it's like to pray for anything beyond, Lord, take care of we four and no more, amen. Or a flat tire prayer, Lord, I'm in trouble, help me in Jesus' name, amen. He's more than that. He wants to do exceeding abundantly above. He wants to bless you in ways you've never been blessed. He wants us to be in the place of prayer that he can share with us his secrets and his burdens. He wants us to fellowship with him. So it's time to draw near with hearts sprinkled with the blood of the new covenant, to draw near with boldness and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And boldly say, Lord, shake this nation, shake this city, shake this church, shake me. Amen, church. But another thing he might have seen is the steadfastness of many that was dead or ready to die. The Bible records of the early church that they continued steadfastly. That's the way the Holy Spirit described them, steadfastly. In doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. That means communion and prayers. They were always in teaching, fellowship, communion, and praying. Think about that. They were saturated with God. Their holy habits brought them into contact with God in four different ways on a daily basis: teaching, fellowship, communion, and praying. They could not get more than 24 hours away from God because this is what they did every day: teaching, fellowship, communion, and praying. They were steadfast. That means there was no way you could pull them off that holy center. They said, if you find me, I'm going to be in communion, I'm going to be in prayer, I'm going to be in fellowship, and I'm going to be listening to the teaching of the Word of God. I am Jesus saturated. I can't get away from Him. He's above me, He's below me, He's around me. I have created the habits in my life to bring me in contact with Jesus on a regular basis. Now, revival also brings not only life from death or almost dead, but joy out of despair. I love joyful Christians, and I don't like being around sour Christians. Can I be honest with you? They bring me down. I like being around people who are excited about Jesus. Now, I don't mean phony, and I don't mean fake, and I don't mean unrealistic, but I mean people who have got enough Jesus in them that it put a smile on their face, that they've got a positive outlook, that they know that God's got everything under control, even if they're in trials. And do you know that when revival falls, it is always accompanied with holy joy? Psalms 85 verse 6 says, will you not revive us again? There's that word, revive, that your people may rejoice in you. Notice, revival brings rejoicing. The Holy Spirit in writing the Word of God connected revival with rejoicing. I've said often here, if you've been coming along at all, you've heard me say the Christian's face is God's greatest billboard. A smiling, joyful Christian is the most irresistible magnet for Christ Jesus on earth. If you get filled with joy, they want to know where you got it. And when you tell them you didn't shoot something to get it, or snort something to get it, or drink something to get it, but it came from the Holy Spirit and Jesus, they want to know, are you kidding me? Are you sure? Oh yeah, it's the Holy Spirit and His joy, and that's what keeps me alive. Because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. That's why I tell you, if you're all sad and you look like you got baptized in pickle juice and you've always got a furrowed brow and you're headed to a restaurant after this service, don't tell them you were here. But if you go out of here with a skip in your step and a smile on your face and a gleam in your eye, because the Lord is good all the time, and all the time the Lord is good, then tell them you were here. Happiness comes from a happening. You get a new car, you get a raise, you meet somebody new, and you're happy because of a happening. But joy is not from a happening. Joy is from a relationship. Joy comes from the Holy Spirit. Joy comes from that well of salvation that was dug in you when you got saved. Joy is supernatural. Happiness is natural. We got joy. And when real revival falls, you'll see a joyful church. You will see a church that can't wait to get in the door. You will see a church that can't wait to get to church. People need revival if they're not joyful in church attendance. Listen to what David said. He said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Notice he didn't say, I was sad when they said to me. I was glad when they said to me, what? Let's go to church. Let's go to the house of God. There are people that wake up on Sunday morning and they say, oh me, it's another Sunday. And some of them, the churches they go to, I don't blame them, because they're dead, they're lifeless, they're religious, they're not delivering anybody, saving anybody. There's no moving of the Holy Spirit. But a church alive is worth the drive.
Thanks for listening today to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. To get a copy of today's message, give us a call at 877-884-3111. Or you can pick it up at our website, hardwired.org. That's 877-884-3111. Or the website, hardwired.org. While you're there at the website, you'll find today's message along with all the messages from Pastor Jeff. We know they've been an encouragement to you, so be sure to forward them on to a friend who you think needs to hear today's message or any of the messages there at the website. It might be the very thing they need to be encouraged as well. Again, the website is hardwired.org or call us at 877-884-3111. If you haven't been to the website lately, jump on over there and take a look at all we have for you. One last thing, your partnership with this program through your generous giving is always needed and very appreciated. We know Hardwired is making a difference in your life, so this is how you can make a difference to ours. Please take a minute to send your best gift through our website, hardwired.org, or by calling 877-884-3111. Thanks so much for your heart of generosity. We truly do appreciate it. Be sure to join us next time right here on Hardwired.